Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and welcome into the live stream for Tesla's Q1 earnings report. We're starting a little bit here before market close, and we'll just kind of hang out until we get the shareholder letter. Then we'll obviously read through it, follow along together, and then we can compare Tesla's actual results with the forecast that I had yesterday and kind of discuss any of the variances, which will be inevitable, that we find in there and what they might mean going forward. Then later today, we'll also have the earnings call. So that's going to be at 4:30 p.m. Central Time, 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. So obviously we've got to wait a little bit here. Tesla's letter usually comes out a little bit before or a little bit after market close, usually like 5 to 10 minutes after. Can be a little bit variable. If you are just joining this after earnings have come out, there'll be timestamps for when the actual letter comes out, and you'll want to fast forward there to see the actual results. All right, so I just want to pop over to Excel while we wait for the market to close here and just kind of preview what we're going to be looking at when we do actually get the numbers. So give me a second for that. So this is basically the same forecasting sheet that we were looking at yesterday, just a couple of adjustments for when we actually get the actuals here. So when we do get those, I'll enter those in here. We'll end up comparing both how those numbers compare to my forecast and the analyst consensus. And just as a little, I guess, consideration here, let's say that Tesla beats my estimates. I just want to clarify how this is structured. I have this column where the percent comparison is showing my results versus the actuals. Normally, you would phrase it as, okay, Tesla beat my estimates by X percent. And I have it as the opposite. My forecast missed Tesla's estimates by 3% in this structure. And this is nuanced, but the reason that I have it structured this way is because oftentimes, just naturally, what I would say is, oh, Tesla missed my forecast in this on this metric, just because that's the easier way to communicate it. And then people always come back and say, no, Tesla didn't miss your estimate. You made a bad estimate. Like, you missed Tesla's actuals, which is true. So it's just to help with sentence structure is why it's set up this way. I'm sure I'll still make mistakes like that. But I agree with the sentiment there, and it's just kind of a, again, just a way to structure the sentence that makes it easier to understand. So anyway, if Tesla reported 19 billion in sales, hopefully I would say that my estimate was 3% under the actual, or let's say they report 18 billion in sales, then my estimate was 3% over the actual. So while we're waiting for the results here, just wanted to clarify that because every single time I get comments like that. I agree with Jossum here. So Jossum's in the chat today, reminding people to not forget to like and subscribe. Totally agree. Thanks, Jossum. Okay, let's hop over back into the browser here. Believe the market has just closed. So obviously not the best day. Tesla down about 5%. With the Nasdaq down 1.2%. Do we even dare look at Netflix? I haven't looked at them today. I think it was down 30% last I checked. Yeah, down 35. Whew. So that's definitely dragging things down today, for Netflix, as you can see by the chart here. Man, what is that, like a 5-year low for Netflix? 226. Yeah, like a 3 or 4 year low. So a rough day for them. We talked about this, of course, yesterday. If you did miss it, Netflix reported that they had lost subscribers, and they guided for continued loss of subscribers. So that's definitely causing tech stocks, high growth stocks today, whether it's justified or not, to fall a little bit. Let's back to Tesla here. Yep. Went a little bit too far there. You guys can see some of my homepage stuff. Hopefully nothing crazy there. All right, so there we are, down 5%. Let's see if earnings have been reported early. Doesn't look like it quite yet. And let me just catch up to the chat. Sometimes the reaction in the stock is kind of our first indicator, and it does seem to be moving around quite a bit. And sometimes it can be a little bit delayed because it'll also get published with the SEC. So I'm gonna multitask here, try to keep an eye on the chat because some of you may see it first. Let's also just look in to Twitter because sometimes that'll find things first too. Usually at this time, just a lot of posts about people waiting for earnings to come out. And we all wait together. So I can pop back over and we can just quickly run through my estimates. Thank you, Lily. I know it doesn't show the little animated GIF there on screen, but thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, so like I said, usually it's going to be 5-10 minutes after market close. It can be longer. Tesla can make us wait, which is always fun. Because it's difficult to get into a too in-depth of a conversation while we're trying to multitask here and wait for the earnings. So that being said, though, let's... oh, some action there, up 2.3%. Must be out. Right? One would think. Come on. Maybe just some algorithm manipulation there. I think this actually might have happened last quarter. Now it's back down a little bit. Maybe just a lot of trading here in anticipation. Maybe some spoofing going on. I'm not seeing anything yet. Someone says it's out. I'm not seeing it yet. It's got to be out though. It's significantly up. There we go. All right, let's check this out. Operating cash flow, $2.2 billion. I think that's quite a bit lower than what I expected. Let's see where total revenue is. Total revenue beat. I know that off the top of my head. GAAP gross margin, pretty sure that beat. Operating margin, whew, definitely beat. GAAP earnings per share, $2.86. Yeah, so this blew everything away. This is extremely exciting and... What, the stock's up 1%? Oh, typical. Are there any one-time items in here? This doesn't make any sense. 19% operating margin, okay. The analyst expectation for operating margin this quarter was 14.4%. The actual here is coming in at 19.2%, and the stock is up 1%. That does not make any sense. And we'll get into the letter here in a second, but just... high level makes no sense. I mean, Tesla beat earnings here by like 30%. So this is an extreme beat unless there's some one-time things happening in here. So let's recenter. At least I'll recenter myself here. All right, first quarter, another record. Operating profit over 19%. Outstanding recourse debt has fallen to $100 million. Expansion of our product capacity. Core to our decision-making in the past 2 months, we began deliveries of Model Y at Berlin and Texas. Negligible impact on Q1 gross profit. Okay. So that's one of the factors I had. So that's probably one of the reasons they beat. Same time, putting significant efforts into in-house cell production, raw materials procurement, and supplier diversification. Challenges around supply chain have remained persistent, and our team has been navigating through them for over a year. In addition to chip shortages, recent COVID-19 outbreaks have been weighing on our supply chain. Furthermore, prices of some raw materials have increased multifold in recent months. Inflationary impact on our cost structure has contributed to adjustments in our product pricing despite a continued focus on reducing manufacturing costs where possible. I'd like to thank everybody. Factory opening. Production and delivery started from Giga Berlin in March. Production and delivery started from Texas in April. All right, so not a lot of mention of one-time things there. We kind of took a quick look at this. I think our operating expenses are pretty close to the forecast. beat on the top line and definitely beat on margin. I mean, automotive gross margin, 32.9, that's huge. Oh, is there regulatory credits? Okay. Oh, there it is. I knew there'd be something in there. And there it is, regulatory credits. Should have looked at that first. So that's driving a significantly higher number here than what I'd expected for regulatory credits. It's like $400 or $500 million higher than my forecast, about 400. So we will see what things look like with that backed out. Oh, and sorry, I apologize if the camera's covering a little bit of those things. I'll try to keep that in mind. Okay, so regulatory credits definitely driving a huge beat here. Growth in vehicle deliveries, increased average selling prices as we expected, growth in other parts of the business as expected. Profitability, growth in vehicle deliveries, increased average selling price, reduced cost of goods sold per vehicle despite inflationary pressures, lower stock-based compensation as we expected, increase in regulatory credits, offsetting those improvements in profitability, rising raw material, increase in operating expenses. Okay, so largely what we had expected there. Quarter-end cash equivalents increased by $300 million, free cash flow $2.2 billion. And debt repayments of 2.1 billion. Okay. Tesla's got basically no debt now, as they say there. $100 million. It's crazy. In a good way. All right. So interesting. Their total vehicle deliveries didn't actually change at all. So they've now mastered that counting really quickly at the end of the quarter. As I said, when we got those numbers, 3 days of inventory, very, very low there. Huge hit on solar, so I'd have forecasted a small decline there. This was a significant drop, down 48% year over year. As we had covered during the quarter, Tesla had supply chain challenges on solar. Storage did drop a little bit. We do have that PG&E Moss Landing project come online April 7th, so that'll probably be reflected in Q2. It's a little bit opaque how Tesla accounts for that, but I'd expect that to jump back up for Q2. Continued growth in service and supercharging. Right, so I don't think anything changed in terms of this annual installed capacity here, except for early ramp, Cybertruck, Semi, Roadster, future product in development. I would have to check on the last table, but I think that's the same. Looks like the stock's figuring it out a little bit. Makes sense. You would have think the algorithms would have like reacted strongly to that. All right, so vehicle capacity. In Q1, we saw a continuation of global supply chain transportation manufacturing challenges. April began deliveries. Delivered our first vehicles with 4680 in-house made cells. It's a huge milestone. Single piece front body castings and structural packs. So confirmation of all those things we had suspected. Important milestone. Later this year, we expect Gigafactory Texas will be able to produce Model Ys using both structural packs with 4680s as well as non-structural packs with 2170 cells. Okay. So interesting, we kind of had heard Tesla talk about potentially two development paths for Giga Texas, and it looks like they're going to continue with that plan. And this should allow them to, if 4680 ramp up is a little bit slower, hopefully fill in some of that production. So, I mean, you could take that as a good thing, or you could take it as a bad thing in terms of Tesla's thoughts on the 4680 ramping, but ultimately it does give them more flexibility. Shanghai, while weekly production rates were strong in Q1, spike in COVID-19 cases, temporary shutdown, production recently restarted. I've already known that. Continue to monitor the situation closely. And then Europe, production started using non-structural packs for 2170s. Ultimately, Gigafactory Berlin Brandenburg will be able to produce Model Ys using both structural packs and 4680s. So similar as Texas and what we expected. This chart, always a great one to look at. This is total market share, not electric vehicle market share, which, as we've talked about, is not the important metric to look at. Tesla continuing to rise, and certainly looks like a nice little beginning of an S curve right there. All right, so looks like they talked about orders. They got a spike in orders after the Super Bowl. So we had looked at Google Trends information, and we had seen those spikes based on all those other electric vehicle ads. Looks like Tesla not just reflecting that in terms of search results, but reflecting that in actual orders. So thanks, those six other companies or whatever that were advertising for EVs. All right, Autopilot and full self-driving. FSD beta development continued, seven software updates. Team continued to work on reducing disengagements. We are aiming to release FSD beta to all US FSD customers before the end of this year, as Elon has said. And Canada started in March. Q1, we added mobile controls. Improved charging time estimation. All right, all great stuff, but nothing too new there, I don't think. And GAAP operating margin, Tesla breaking right through to the top. As we had talked about, last quarter was suppressed because of a lot of those one-time items. So now we can see, even trailing 12 months, you know, Tesla at 15% there, almost 16%, well ahead of any other automaker, even though that's, you know, three of those four quarters were pretty significantly suppressed. All right, so battery powertrain and manufacturing. Diversification of battery chemistries is critical for long-term growth to capacity. So why nearly half of Tesla vehicles produced in Q1 were equipped with lithium iron phosphate LFP batteries containing no nickel, no cobalt. Currently, LFP batteries are used in most of our standard range vehicle products as well as commercial energy storage applications. Okay, so I think that's a little bit new. Not sure if Tesla has confirmed that before. Obviously, they were heading in that direction. As a result, our energy efficient motors, LFP packs, 267 mile standard range. Tesla insurance, okay. Services and other gross margin, we've talked about that stuff. Tesla insurance, energy storage, deployments increased 90% year over year to 846 megawatt hours, but that was down quarter over quarter. Mainly driven by strong Powerwall deployments. Okay, that's kind of interesting. I think most of us would have suspected most of that volume is mega pack. They're saying Powerwall here. As demand remains substantially above the capacity, growth is limited by ongoing supply chain challenges, of course. Yep. Solar deployments decreased. This reduction was caused by import delays beyond our control on certain solar components. Solar roof deployments continued to grow year over year. Okay. So even though they were constrained, still growth, I guess that's a good thing. And services and others remain close to break even. I had expected that to be a little bit more positive. But still year over year improvement, strong used car sales, growth in merchandise, classic, and Tesla and collision centers and related services. Insurance business continued to expand in those three states that we talked about. Tesla acts as the insurance carrier, which means that we are the underwriter and bear financial risk. So that's actually pretty important. We had talked about one of the filings had made it sound like Tesla was going in that direction. I can't remember which of these states it was for. Maybe Oregon. But it sounds like in all three of these new states, Tesla is basically fully vertically integrating insurance, which, yeah, that's huge. That'll allow them to keep prices low or keep margins high on the insurance product. All right, we plan to grow manufacturing capacity as quickly as possible. Over a multi-year time horizon, we expect to achieve 50% annual average growth in vehicle deliveries. Growth rate will depend on yada, 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 all that stuff that we know. Factory have been running below capacity for several quarters as supply chain became the main limiting factor, which is likely to continue through the rest of 2022. So disappointing to see that, not surprising. It would be surprising if it was not that. Just something all companies are having to work through for the foreseeable future. Cash, they're good on cash. Profit, continue to execute on innovations to reduce the cost of manufacturing and operations. Over time, we expect our hardware-related profits to be accompanied with an acceleration of software-related profits, which are obviously higher margin. Pace of production ramps in Austin and Berlin will be influenced by the successful introduction of many new product and manufacturing technologies in new locations and ongoing supply chain-related challenges. Factory ramps take time. Austin and Berlin will be no different. We are making progress on the industrialization of Cybertruck, which is currently planned for Austin production subsequent to Model Y ramp. So both there, you know, you've kind of got a warning about supply chain here. You've got a warning again about supply chain here. You've got a warning about new technologies. Tesla in many places, they're just saying, hey, temper your expectations on the ramp. We need to listen to that. You can say that Tesla's trying to keep expectations low, but I think it's better to take them at face value on some of those comments. We got some beautiful pictures here. Berlin, I'm sure we'll have some Cyber Rodeo stuff too. Most of us have probably seen similar photos like this, but always fun to review. Some beautiful colors on these on these renderings. All right, so model 3 body structure, 171 pieces of metal highlighted there. 2 pieces of metal for the Austin-made Model Y. So now we've got the front castings in addition to the rear castings. Greater than 1,600 fewer welds. Yeah, that's probably going to help with production capacity and costs, I would imagine. All right, some nice charts here. No surprise, they continue to look the same. Up and to the right, pretty much everything. I'd love to see it. All right, so let's hop into Excel here and let's kind of take a look at what some of this means from a financial perspective. Sorry, I'm just laughing. I happened to look at the chat and someone was asking if my ego had recovered from riding the bull. Or I guess not riding the bull. Guys, that was so embarrassing. I'm actually usually pretty good at that. The combination of a hard plastic top on that thing and these jeans was not good. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I promise I'm a little bit better. All right, let's hop back over to Excel and let's plug in some of these numbers. This is obviously the most exciting part of this this live stream, watching me put numbers into an Excel sheet. But we got to do it, right? We got to do it sometime, so let's do it now. All right, we'll flip back over here. And just bear with me. We'll do our best. All right, so deliveries, that was 310, 048, which was exactly what Tesla had said before. Automotive revenue, 16,861. All right, so I was 1% below Tesla's actuals. Regulatory credits, 679. So I was 59% below on regulatory credits, about $400 million of difference there. So if you take regulatory credits out, automotive sales would have actually been a little bit below my forecast, which means that Tesla's average selling price X credits was a little bit lower than what I had forecast, probably about 1%. So not a huge difference, but it looks like Tesla's still beating pretty significantly on margins from what I'd expected. So we'll take a look at that here in a second. For energy sales, let's take a quick look at that. That's in a different line, so I kind of got to hop around a little bit here. All right, so 616, my forecast was 10% too high. Analyst consensus also 10% too high, even though we did expect drops quarter over quarter. Services and others, quite a bit above my forecast. So I'm surprised that that wasn't more profitable. Costs there were pretty significant. Let's get in cost for energy generation here. And for total automotive, which was 11,322. All right, so presumably that should calculate everything correctly. And yeah, so if you take out $400 million in regulatory credit, which is the difference here, then I would have been within $20 million on automotive profit. So definitely happy with that forecast. Even though Tesla, and that's even better because even though Tesla was a little bit lower than I expected on average selling prices, they're still coming in at the same automotive profit X credits, which means, as we talked about, gross margins performing better. So we should have correct numbers in here. Yeah, so they lost, you know, $80 million from energy and services and others. Those will recover. I'm not too worried about those lines. And then total gross profit here, 5.5 billion, let's call it, versus my forecast of 5.1. So if you take out, again, the regulatory credit difference, would have been within 60 million on that line. So it was, my forecast was 6% below Tesla's actuals. Automotive gross margin, 32.9%. That's got to be a record. Even X credit, though, 30%, that's much more important of a number to look at. So as I said, would have come in a little bit high on my automotive revenue forecast, X credit, but this 40 basis point different, 50 basis point difference, I guess, if you round, is making up for that and allowing Tesla to still hit you know, really, really high profit numbers on their business. So 29.1% total gross margin, that's up 780 basis points last year. Basis point is just 1/100th of a percent. So 7.8 percentage points from the 21.3% last year. And my forecast was 140 basis points below that, just again, based on a little bit lower total revenue and lower gross margin, lower gross margin and lower regulatory credits. With the regulatory credits, those probably would have come out almost identical. All right, R&D, let's flip over to some of the operational expenses here. So 865, that should be quite a jump. So $100 million higher than what I had forecast on R&D, which I don't have any issues with that. Tesla is definitely going to manage their R&D just fine. I'm not ever worried about that line. So SG&A, this is a line that I thought was going to be over forecast by Wall Street, and I believe that is very much the case. So it's about $12 million lower than even my forecast, down a couple hundred million dollars from last quarter. Bitcoin impairment, I'm going to put that at zero. I don't recall seeing anything about that. All right, so total operating expenses, 1,857. Let's just see if that matches up. Hopefully it does. And it does. Operating income, 3,6. And that matches up as well. So yeah, I would have been X credits. It would have come in a little bit lower just because of the R&D. But, you know, totally fine with that number. Obviously, these are still very, very strong results. I'd much rather have a lower operating income number because of higher R&D expenses than have a higher operating income number with lower R&D but lower automotive profit, if that makes sense. This is why we go through these numbers, right? Because there's nuance in them. If R&D was $1.2 billion and that caused Tesla to miss significantly on operating income, that would be something that I would celebrate, because they would only be missing because of spending that they have a lot of control over, right? Like, they can control their R&D budget as tightly or as loosely as they want, versus something like automotive profit. That gives us a lot more of an indicator on how they're making progress on manufacturing vehicles and demand and all of these things. So that's why it's important to understand just some of these buckets underlying, you know, besides just looking at the bottom line. So EBITDA, let's see where that is. So EBITDA is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. I think we're pretty close on that one. We got $5 billion there. So yeah, everything kind of coming in $300-400 million above, which again, mainly driven by those regulatory credits. Non-GAAP net income, for that we got to put in stock-based compensation. Which was $418 million. So a little bit higher than what I had forecast. Not anything too crazy. I don't know if they're going to break out the CEO performance award for us. Okay. Yep, so that was $48 million. Ooh, very close. Love to see that. Non-GAAP net income. GAAP net income. Net income, so 3,318 on that line. Again, regulatory credits driving that difference. I know that's getting redundant, but EPS non-GAAP diluted, which I know we talked about. So non-GAAP was 322. Ooh, and we get to calculate the PE here in a second. I think I saw someone already do that in the chat, but it'll be fun. Okay, so 322. And GAAP 286. And then our last metric here, free cash flow, then we'll come back to that earnings per share. 2228. I don't forecast this line, but as I had said in the live stream yesterday, slightly above 2 billion. So in line with what I had expected. All right, so cool. I'm pretty happy with these numbers. I'm happy with my forecasts. All around pretty happy with with these results. It's always two factors for me, like how well did I do on my forecast, and then how well did Tesla do on their actual results. obviously one is more important than the other, but I'm a competitive person and I like to do a good job. It is important for me to, you know, make forecasts that make sense, even though there are caveats with that, as I've mentioned many times. But on this GAAP earnings per share number, so we are now at, let's see, $7.66 for trailing 12 months earnings per share. So let's see what that would be. Flip back to the stock here. Oh, wow, it's not at all-time highs. Of course, it's up 4.20%, right, when I go back to this. I know you guys can't see it, but that's what it was. Classic. So, yeah, the stock's at $1,017, which somehow is below the price that it was at yesterday. So, let's say $1,017 divided by $7.66. The GAAP earnings per share is going to be, or sorry, GAAP price to earnings ratio is now going to be 133. And I always like tweeting that out. So sorry, I just want to do this before it's too late. Tesla price to earnings ratio has dropped from, let's see, what was it before this? Let's say 117. I know, again, very exciting for this on the live stream, but if you sat through all that Excel stuff, you can sit through this too, right? So we are at 196 before. We're now at 133. And that should get updated. All right, that should get updated on Google Finance, Yahoo Finance in the next couple of days. All right, so I'm going to pop into the chat. I'm sure most people are pretty excited by this. I don't think the stock is really fully capturing how strong these results are. I think what we're seeing here is really, really good cost control from Tesla. Again, the automotive gross margin X credit here, as I usually say, that's one of the first places I look. And for Tesla to be able to pull that off, I mean, that's a really, really strong result. Considering in this quarter, they had the hit of ramping up Giga Berlin. And Tesla said that that wasn't a significant impact. That's important not only for this quarter, but also for every single quarter going forward where Tesla is ramping up a factory. Because now we can go and we can say, oh, in Q2, Texas will be a little bit different because there's 4680 costs associated. But in Q2, we can say that there's probably not going to be some huge hit from Texas either. So analysts are going to have to update their forecast both for the margin beat this quarter, but then also going forward, any quarter that has a factory ramping up, you got to say, okay, Tesla now with Shanghai, Model 3 and Model Y, with Model Y from Fremont, now with Model Y from Berlin. Tesla in all these cases has been able to start these factories off without having a significant hit to their gross margin. And that's just not what people would normally forecast for. But Tesla's set the precedent now doing this three times that whenever you forecast this in the future, you're going to have to look at that and give some sort of a reason for, you know, if you expect a hit on that, you're going to have to justify that. And there's not much in Tesla's track record to do that. The only caveat there, again, being new technology. So like 4680, that could cause a difference. Cybertruck, that could cause a difference. Versus in those cases, Shanghai Model 3, Shanghai Model Y, Giga Berlin Model Y. All those three, those were products that Tesla had already ramped up once before, which definitely makes things a little bit easier. Okay, so yeah, somebody just made a good comment about forward price earnings. So 286 is, let's annualize that. Should be like 1144. And we're at 1017. So forward price earnings would be 89 based off of the run rate here from Q1. But of course, that number is going to continue to improve as Tesla grows volume, as Tesla doesn't have these shutdowns throughout the quarter that we had talked about, whether that was Chinese New Year, whether that was COVID shutdowns in March, whether that's just having two fewer days this quarter than some quarters have, all these things, Tesla's numbers would have been even better. Like, I feel like we say this every quarter. There's always stuff kind of occluding the results here. And to be fair, you've got regulatory credits having the opposite impact this quarter too, but even backing that out, That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about their automotive gross margin X credits. Even not considering that, those credits, Tesla is just showing incredible progress here, which is super exciting from an investment perspective because the margins are great, but also exciting from a consumer perspective because great margins means that Tesla has a lot of capability to eventually lower the retail price if and when they can, right? Tesla eventually would like to do that, but as long as demand remains too high and these wait lists are 6-12 months, there's no benefit to anybody other than some customers that might happen to get a good deal to lower those prices. That's just going to create a reselling market that, you know, probably isn't really great either way. All right, so let's see. Someone said, what will be 89? So the forward price to earnings based on this quarter annualized would be 89, and that's on a GAAP basis. So it's quite low. So I'm going to poke around just the chat here and see what's going on. But just as a reminder, Tesla's earnings call is going to be in about an hour. In the description of this video, there is a link to my live stream for that. We'll do the same thing as we do most quarters. I'll just type along so as to not interrupt. And yeah, it'll be exciting. And after the call, we'll chat about what was on the call as well. Sounds like Elon is going to be on the call. He had made a tweet earlier today. Roger here says the EPS trajectory over the past couple of quarters is absolutely wild. Great sign of things to come and a lot of catching up to do for the share price. Yeah, totally agree. I mean, I've been beating that drum for like 3 years now, but we're definitely seeing it come to fruition. And to be honest, it's coming to fruition probably faster than I would have forecast at that time. So it's definitely exciting. I mean, yeah, you can see here. Well, I don't think we have the year-over-year percent on that, but GAAP net income up 650% year-over-year, revenue up 81% year-over-year, total gross margin up 8 points, operating margin up 14 points. Yeah, you just like go line by line and it's just crazy, except for the expense line, right? Like, okay, you grew revenue by 81%, you grew operating expenses by 15%. Now, to be fair, there was more CEO compensation last year, you know, $250 million more there. So that's a factor, but that at the time was also an outlier. So like we had talked about, some things just occluding the strength in Tesla's business, just like we have in this quarter, that's been happening now for a while. And eventually all these things are going to stop happening, right? Like the CEO compensation, okay, that's now come to an end. Tesla's interest expenses, like that's now come to an end. All of these things that I've been talking about for the last couple of years, these expenses that are, you know, occluding some of these results, they're coming to an end. And we're finally starting to see some of the true strength of Tesla's business right as they ramp up in volume. Like it's just a very exciting time for the company right now. And that's going to continue for the next decade. I don't know. I mean, certainly going to continue for at least the next couple of years. And from there, you know, the roadmap is quite long. So it's definitely exciting. All right, just looking through here, just want to make sure I see super chats and whatnot. I'm sure I missed a few. They're always hard to find. This streaming software doesn't make it easy. So I do apologize if I miss any of those. I'll try to go back and just like address those in the comments if I can when I have time. Will, thank you for that. I really appreciate that one. All right. Thanks, Ben. I know that's from earlier, but I did do it. We put the numbers in. I don't think I had any typos. They match up with Tesla's. I'll call that a success. Noah, thank you for that. Francis, thank you. Carlton, thank you. Jason, thank you. Appreciate that. Laura, thank you. Winston, thank you as usual. Really appreciate it. Okay. I know I'm going to miss a couple of these, so I do apologize for that, but I think I'm going to wrap up wrap up the stream here. Keep your questions in mind, and you know, we'll do kind of the same thing after the earnings call, which will be coming up. Someone said your Q3 automotive profit has a big typo. Q3 automotive profit. You were right about that. So that's the sell. I'll check on that. I don't know what's going on there. Oh, I see. So the problem is I linked this. This is stupid, but it's linked over to this automotive cost cell. I just need to update that. So apologize for that. The other numbers here, I don't think are that way. So yeah, it's just this one. So disregard Q3. I don't think that's actually changing any of the earnings results. Those are just hard keyed in there. So that doesn't change any of the other math that we went through. It's just going to affect kind of this grouping of stuff right here. So yeah, don't look at that. thanks for pointing that out though. I do apologize for that. But yeah, in terms of these numbers, I think these are all matching up with what Tesla just reported. All right, so let's see. Yeah, and thanks for pointing that out. I do appreciate that. This isn't where I do my actual forecasting, so that's not actually affecting anything. Those are in the myriad of sheets down here that are much more, a lot more cells than those. Okay, cool. I think we're going to wrap up then. Really happy with earnings. I guess we'll just do one more check here on what the price is at. Yeah, up 4%. Kind of a joke. You can't really ask for any better results than this. Maybe the ASPs could have risen, but again, that's just a matter of when the price increases are hitting, how the mix shifts are happening. So even that, that's the only, across this entire set of financial results, that is the only thing that slightly missed my expectations, which, you know, certainly have no problem with that. And those ASPs are going to continue to increase. All right. So thanks guys for tuning in. Again, that live stream, for the link to the live stream for earnings, that'll be down in the, for the earnings call, that'll be down in the description. And we'll see you over there in a little bit. Thank you.